standing at a bus stop within sight of the Golden Gate Bridge, staring down at a crushed aluminium can in the gutter, feeling the afternoon fog dampening him and waking arthritic pain in his knee and hip joints, expecting the bus to arrive any minute, but fearing it would not. Abraham Morgenstern addressed himself.
My God, how you hate waiting in line. Hell for you is waiting in line.
It was not that Abraham Morgenstern was impatient. Time and trouble had bored that vice out of him. It was more that waiting in line jogged memories. Lines provided time for images of long lines, long gone, to develop in his brain like a Polaroid print, until the picture stood out with all the angular shine and sharpness of fresh barbed wire. He tried to distract himself by shifting his weight from one foot to the other, by looking up and over the trees where the bridge stood, almost completely enveloped in Pacific fog. A tiny section of the San Francisco Tower stood out as orange-pink as a setting sun. The Golden Gate Bridge usually consoled Abraham Morgenstern. Indeed, it had consoled him today.
You did a good job, Joseph Strauss, he told the soul of the dead engineer who'd been responsible for the bridge. But then he added, when you were fixing that last solid gold rivet to your bridge in March 1937, I had been arrested and was waiting in line for the train.
He tried to tread on the thought, to no avail. Lines for the train leading to unknown, dreaded destinations. Lines for the latrines, lines for strip searches, lines, endless lines for the ovens, where smoke rose from the chimney day and night like fog. The one line he had, by fair means and foul, avoided. But the one line that memory had brought bubbling up to the surface of his consciousness on every single day since the first day he had witnessed it. And at the first time of asking, what are they lining up like that for? Only to be answered by a wide-eyed look that contained all the horror waiting at the head of the line. At that first time, perhaps, the master engineer Joseph Strauss had come, pipe in mouth, to look at his achievement. A bridge that bridged what everyone said was unbridgeable, and bridged the chasm with beauty. A utilitarian sculpture which would change men's lives, make them easier and happier, completing the two headlands and the waters between. Blessed to be joined by Joseph Strauss's rainbow.
You were a lucky man, Joseph Strauss, Abraham Morgenstern told the sky above the fog.
At last the bus arrived. The line broke. It broke from the back. Some kids rushed forward in front of Abraham Morgenstern, and trailing laughter and the excretions of a ghetto blaster in their wake, were aboard. He waited. He knew his place. He also knew that he must not fall. To fall at his age might mean not getting up again. Anyway, lines always fell apart, he told himself. In the camps, they were dissolved by people pushing through, people fainting out of them, people breaking ranks to run headlong for the wire. He showed his senior citizen's bus pass to the driver, who didn't look at it, seemingly taken up with an inaudible sound coming from the headphones attached to his Walkman. The bus was almost full. The kids had taken the last two rows and were shouting to one another raucously. The other passengers gazed hard out of the windows as Abraham Morgenstern made his way down the aisle unsteadily, looking for a neutral corner. The bus lurched along Park Presidio towards downtown San Francisco. Abraham Morgenstern allowed himself the pleasure of anticipating the meal that lay ahead at the TikTok Cafe. He would have steak and talk to his friends about the old days, when he seemed to be at the front of every one of life's lines. Before the bridge. Before the war. The kids at the back continued to shout, and had turned up the volume of the ghetto blaster. There was nothing unusual in that. The old man hated the sound, and the idea of people being able to get away with such behavior, causing distress to others with impunity. But he did nothing. Nobody ever did anything. He just sat staring at the graffiti on the back of the seat in front of him. There was neither wit nor any redeeming features to such graffiti. He wondered, as he'd so often wondered, what it all meant. What made these people go to the trouble of writing such trash? Who did they hope to reach? The unfeeling music from the back of the bus and the graffiti seemed to him to be part of the same thing. The barbarians are at the gates. Where had he read that? It was from a poem he'd once known by heart. No, the name escaped him. Only the line and the realization of the truth of it remained with him. Where was he? Ah, yes. They were passing Fisherman's Wharf. Soon it would be time for Abraham Morgenstern to catch a glimpse of the mural. There were many painted on the walls of buildings in San Francisco, but the one coming up was his favorite. It showed a Hispanic couple, radiant and golden, carrying a lamp. Behind them, a procession of people from all over the world, a line of the worldwide tribe of folk, marching, singing, and smiling. The mural seemed to him to speak eloquently for what America, in its backslapping better days, could be. For the America that had welcomed him, emaciated and shattered, with a statue of promises, and that other great bridge. That other bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge, had been lit up like a wedding arch when his ship passed under it. What joy he had felt! How consoling bridges were! America's great bridges bound the continent like bookends. The bus stopped next to the mural. He smiled at its primary colors. He felt his hand itching to rise and wave at the people in the mural. But then the hand clenched as he saw that someone had written in spray paint across the two beautiful faces leading the line, "Life is not this beautiful." The old man closed his eyes. On cue, the old memories returned to pester him. Graffiti had been written on him. He could turn up the frayed end of his shirt sleeve and see the graffiti. Morgenstern, 639-4245. And he, in his turn, had tried to immortalize himself in graffiti, to write his name and number in the corner of the hut, so that someday someone would know that he had been there, that he had existed. The bus left the mural behind. No, life was not beautiful, but why say so? Maybe the mural could have sparked hearts and improved things, who knows? The barbarian is at the gates. No, thought Abraham Morgenstern, the barbarian stalks our streets. The barbarian is in the city. Suddenly, he was startled out of his reveries by a young woman. She turned in her seat and shouted to the kids at the back, "Do you think you could turn the volume down? It's very annoying for the passengers." She said it quite calmly, though the old man thought he detected a nervous tremor in her voice. Abraham Morgenstern did not look round. He did not touch the woman on the shoulder to compliment her on her courage. He did not add his voice to hers. All these things he desperately wanted to do. His whole body ached with empathy towards the woman, but he could not bring himself to do anything. He was fearful of both embarrassment and reprisals. He merely sat very still.
"It's very annoying for the passengers."
A cruel send-up of the woman's voice was shouted from the back. Then the woman turned and was addressing him.
"It's terrible the way they act. You can't even ride a bus in peace."
He nodded his agreement and wondered if his nod would be interpreted as partisanship by the kids. He devoutly hoped not. Better 1,000 times to let whatever was going to happen happen. Get off before you stop if necessary, but never, never interfere in any way. They would get you if you did. Best to blend in with the graffiti and the fear and the passing blur outside. But another side of him protested. Another side would have done anything to avoid the anguish which now racked him.
To sit there and do nothing. To be scared and impotent in the face of ignorant, strutting unreason. All the books, symphonies, experiences, sorrows, people, memories in his old bald head stood for nothing. They would never respect him. To them, he was a thing. That was why they were barbarians. They could not put themselves into other people's shoes. Just that.
The kids were making remarks about the woman who had spoken out. When this did not produce any reaction, one of them, his hair shaved, black makeup round his eyes, came forward along the aisle, an unlit cigarette between his lips. Abraham Morgenstern saw that he was wearing a tiny swastika earring.
"Got a light for my cigarette?"
he asked the woman who had spoken out.
"The sign up there says you shouldn't smoke. You can read, I suppose," said the woman.
Abraham Morgenstern blinked. He knew that the woman had made another mistake, but loved her for having made it, commended her to Joseph Strauss for her guts and her swagger and her civilization. There had been a few in the camps like this woman. They had not survived. The boy looked back to his companions, intimidated. They were silent, and he knew that he had to do something or their scorn would be aimed at him. He turned towards the woman and spat at her. The woman screamed and sat down, rubbing her face with both arms. Abraham Morgenstern sat, knowing what he ought to do, knowing what Joseph Strauss would have done. But he had known what he ought to have done many times on this same bus route when others had interfered with passengers. But suddenly, here and now, he was very sick of himself and of his silence and of his behind passive on the hard plastic seat. Self-loathing arose in him, sufficient to snuff out fear. Abraham Morgenstern stood up. He faced the grinning youth. Looking into the kid's face, he thought he saw everything that had caused him pain in his life. He stared into the grey eyes of the kid and saw unreason. He hated what he saw and slapped out at the face. The slap made a satisfying sound. He gathered his hands painfully into fists and banged them into the face. And as he banged, he saw blood and shouted, "You monster! You evil little monster!" And his words changed into Hebrew, and a string of ancient curses bubbled from his mouth. The driver, finally forced to admit that something was not quite right on the bus, removed his stereo headset. But by this time, the kids at the back of the bus, angered by the sight of their friend being beaten by the old man, had raced up the aisle and thrown Abraham Morgenstern to the floor of the bus, where they kicked him in the face and body over and over again, to the accompaniment of the woman's screams and the unbelievably noisy silence of the other 30 passengers. Then, when the driver stopped, the kids pushed open the door of the bus, leaving Abraham Morgenstern with 5 minutes of unconsciousness before his heart stopped and his soul, first in line, was welcomed through the Golden Gate by his hero, Joseph Strauss. While the kids ran away into the streets of the city, named in honor of the gentle Saint Francis.